First, let's talk about one issue. Our Falun Gong disciples are doing genuine cultivation. In the past, in the cultivation of Dao, in true cultivation, there were strict requirements for disciples. Disciples in the course of cultivation are absolutely forbidden to just go ahead and treat illnesses. Why? Because in the course of cultivation, we are purifying our own bodies. All throughout the cultivation of In Triple World Fa, we keep on purifying and purifying ourselves, and then gradually get replaced with high energy matter. We must not invite anything bad to come. Because when you're treating a patient's illness, you'll form a single field with the patient and bring the patient's things onto your own body. It's really frightening. Some people don't believe it, so today I'll talk about this issue. Some Qigong masters say, study my system and you'll be able to heal illnesses in 3 days. Study my system and you'll be able to heal in 7 days or heal illnesses in 10 days. So-called a doctor in every family. Think about it, everyone. Is that possible? These things that can only be developed through several decades of arduous cultivation. Oh, you've attended a seminar and in just 3 days you're a doctor? Even among ordinary people, at the lowest level, among ordinary people, the doctors within this level of the Fa have to graduate from a university, then complete professional training and put in some effort to become medical doctors. And you can treat illness in 3 days, a doctor in every family? Then mankind would no longer have disease or illness, right? This may sound pretty good. Actually, all those Qigong masters are fake. They're cheating people and harming themselves, harming others and harming themselves. Why do we put it this way? Because a lot of us, I've just said, when you're treating a patient's illness, you're connected to the patient. It's the same field. Then the pathogenic qi on the patient's body will form a circulation with yours. In the beginning, you will not detect it. He feels as though his illness was relieved, or you may even think it was cured, so you're pretty happy. One, you can't feel it. Two, you can't feel it. Three or four, you can't feel it. But as you treat more, you will feel it. Why will you feel it? In reality, you're exchanging your de or virtue for their illness, for their ye or karma. You have the wish to make him get well, but there is a principle in this universe. You cannot let others get well for nothing, unless you bear it for them. If you are determined to let him get well, then all right then, it'll be given to you. When it's given to you, it cannot be for nothing either. There's another principle in this universe, you have to give others compensation. Even though what you take is illness, you have to give them de as compensation. Think about it, everyone, what a stupid thing this person is doing. We have a lot of people who are ill themselves, but still treat other people's illnesses, and they're done. When they're done treating an illness and go home, they themselves feel sick for many days. There are many such examples. When a person treats serious illnesses, he cures quite a few people and then dies in their place. Yet such a person was still happy with himself, saying, I cured this many cancer patients. And later on, he passed away in their place. There are a few people with rather good inborn quality or Genji. I'm telling you, you're simply exchanging your de, your inborn quality, for other people's illnesses. In the beginning, because your inborn quality isn't bad, you have cured several people and have not felt any bad changes in your body, but your karma has already increased greatly, and a lot of your de has already been given away. It's just this kind of relationship. Those Qigong masters totally cannot see it. They're not Qigong masters. They have not gone through cultivation. They've obtained gong overnight, cheating people and harming themselves. Such a person gave you a tiny bit, so why was it that you became able to treat illnesses? Because he gave you some messages, gave you a bit of energy, but this energy is being consumed and can be fully used up. In order to make you believe, he had to give you some energy. Fine, you go off and start treating. As soon as you cure an illness, I'm telling you, if you aren't able to cure an illness, it's not too bad. But as soon as you are able to cure it, you will have been ruined. Why? Your attachment of complacency will instantly arise. You will be delighted. Wow, I can cure illnesses. I can even cure such a severe illness. Others even call you a Qigong master, making you feel so good. A strong attachment has come up, and it's not easy to get rid of. If others were to say you aren't able to cure illnesses, you wouldn't believe them. If this principle weren't explained to you thoroughly, you would never believe that you can't cure illnesses, so it's really frightening. If the person is cultivation material, if he can cultivate to high levels, then this attachment that has arisen would make it very hard for him to believe and very hard for him to give it up, so he wouldn't be able to cultivate. This person would have been ruined. Apart from the fact that you made your body full of illness and full of karma, your mind will have also been spoiled by him. You would have developed such a huge attachment. You were cultivation material at first. You could practice cultivation, but now it's over. Don't look at how these people are messing around. They're doing it on a large scale throughout the country, but they won't be hopping around for much longer. If you don't believe me, you'll see. It's not allowed to damage this thing like that. So our Falun Gong, our Falun Dafa disciples of cultivation, are not allowed to use any emission of gong or emission of qi to treat illnesses, are not allowed to use the cultivation form to treat illnesses, and are not allowed to use qigong to treat illnesses. If you treat illnesses, if you do this, we cannot let you spoil the things that we planted in your body with that pathogenic qi and karma. So my Fa Shen, or law body, if you treat, my law body will take them back. They won't be given to you. It's a matter of enlightenment quality. It's a matter of whether or not you want to cultivate. We're doing this to benefit all of you. The most crucial thing is for you to truly cultivate yourself up in a pure and pristine way. Moreover, we're telling all of you, you see those illnesses? Some illnesses are quite severe. When you're cultivating in the intriple world Fa, those supernormal powers of yours cannot cure them at all. Even if you've developed your own supernormal powers, you still can't cure them. If everything could be cured, then wouldn't qigong masters be able to cure any illness? Why can't they? Because a lot of illnesses are quite serious. There are also a lot of illnesses that come from the ancestors. They're accumulated from generation to generation. They're quite complex. You can do nothing whatsoever to those things. Moreover, you could easily get hurt. How? In the past, some people talked about something like, what was it? The grabbing method? And there was also acupressure, massage, and then there was also emitting qi, forcing out, discharging, compensating, and so on. All that stuff. There are plenty of methods, some great illumination methods, some electric needle, qi needle healing methods. They coined quite a few terms. Some people teach a seminar dedicated to qigong treatment methods and teach you all kinds of methods for treating illnesses. I'm telling all of you, it's a hoax. Purely a hoax. They went everywhere and collected methods of illness treatment. Why do I say it's a hoax? You know, when a true cultivator is treating illnesses, when does he ever resort to any methods? As soon as I glance at you, the gong has already been sent out. A supernormal power can be sent out through any aperture of the body. The Taoist school calls them apertures, acupoints. In the Buddhist school, all over the body can be sent out through any sweat pore. What methods do you need? If you don't have that supernormal power, you cannot cure illnesses at all. Let's take the grabbing method. If you don't have that supernormal power, it's called the great method of catching souls. If you don't have that supernormal power, go ahead, try to grab. Let me tell you, usually illness comes in two forms. One is that there are things sitting inside the human body. They could be large or small. The other kind is a very dispersed virus or bacteria in another dimension. This kind of thing is an illness directly caused by karma. These are the two forms. If there is a thing behind it and you want to take it off the person, say he's hurting or he got a tumor or whatever, and say you want to take this illness off, try to grab at it and see what happens. You became a qigong master in 3 days or in 10 days and now you can grab it? If your hand isn't able to touch it, maybe you won't feel anything. You're grasping air. You cannot get a hold on it. Your hand can't penetrate to that dimension, so you can't touch it. It ignores you. It even laughs at you. What are you grasping at, waving around blindly? It's pretty funny. If you really did touch it, I'm telling you, that hand would be injured instantly. It would be disabled. Truly disabled. You know, medicine now knows of some illnesses whereby from physical examination there's no damage to the tissues, to the cells, or to the nervous system, but he just cannot move. He can't move his arms, or can't move his hands, can't move his legs. There's no damage, he just can't move. Actually, it's because his true body in another dimension has been injured. That's a real injury. Then it's over, isn't it? It's very dangerous. It's just deceiving people, harming people. Think about it, everyone. Matters relating to the cultivation of the Tao are very serious. Could it be as simple as he thinks? Oh, so you spend a few dollars and you can learn it? This is not a skill among ordinary people. This is something beyond the plane of ordinary people. It cannot be learned like ordinary people's things by spending some money or putting in some effort as some technique. It's not like that. You must raise your xingxing or mind nature, truly cultivate and assimilate to the cosmic characteristic. Only then can you ascend. Only then can your supernormal powers be strengthened. That thing requires having this supernormal power. Moreover, that thing is very clever. If it knows you want to grab it, it'll run away in an instant to another dimension. You wouldn't be able to touch it at all. So to remove this thing, as soon as you have a thought of removing it, the supernormal power will have already been sent out. It will immediately be pinned down, unable to move. Then you grab it with your hand. Practitioners all have other bodies which you can't see. Although this hand has not gone into the body, that hand already has. With a wave of the hand, the two hands will come together and you've caught it in your hand. If you don't have that supernormal power, no matter how big or small it is, once it's in your hand, you know how Buddha Tathagata took a bowl and pointed it at the monkey king, and the monkey king became a small speck and went into the bowl. That's the effect of this supernormal power. No matter how big it is, once it's in your hand, it will become very small. Suppose you don't have these things. Not a skill, not what you think, that you can just do it if you want to. Just by his sort of telling you to grab in such and such way, then you'll be able to grab it. Where is there such a thing? So some people think, if he isn't able to heal the illness, it's not so bad, but once he has healed an illness, his attachments will arise. He cannot actually cure it. The inability to cure illnesses then leads to a more frightening prospect. He treated one or two and maybe those got better, but later his energy was consumed. The stuff that he had been given is gone, so when he treats it again, it won't work. Yet, although it's not working, he knows that his treatments have worked before, so why can't he heal anything anymore? The strong attachment causes him to still want to treat illnesses. When one is so intent on curing illnesses for others, that's when one invites spirit possession. Your treatment doesn't work? I'll treat it for you. I've got gong. I'll treat it for you. So it will come to possess him. It's all caused by people's attachments. The Falun Gong disciples are absolutely forbidden to treat illnesses with their hands. When you go to beyond triple world vow, we will no longer watch over you. At that point, you're in cultivation of the Buddha body and cultivation of beyond triple world vow. You know anything. You'll have your own ability to resolve these problems, but I think that at that point, you wouldn't treat illnesses even if you were told to. You wouldn't do it casually for others. Why not? Think about it. You would have understood the principle that everything an ordinary person gets is caused by karma. You look at how you're suffering now, but if we look back, if we take a look at your history, in the past, you caused even greater suffering to others. Weren't you hateful? Then shouldn't you pay for this? Oh, you can go around hurting people as you please, and I eliminate all of your illnesses in an instant, so it's all right to harm others and not pay for it? Think, everyone, how could that ever do? So when you truly reach that stage in cultivation, you'll know that those illnesses cannot be freely cured. Then how come a lot of Qigong masters over the years successfully cured a lot of illnesses and did a lot of things? A change in the entire celestial phenomena can bring about a certain state. That was a very special situation, but it has since passed. That is, in order to bring up the high tide of Qigong to conform to that phenomenon, a lot of great enlightened beings came down to help. A lot of people with quite good inborn quality could. Some Qigong systems emerged, some Qigong masters emerged, and also some people with pretty good inborn quality emerged, just like what I was telling you about reverse cultivation or borrowing gong. And they treated illnesses. They could have the effect of dissolving karma to a certain extent. That's how it was. But now it's not effective anymore. It was a matter of a special period of time in history. So we cannot go ahead and freely treat illnesses. In the future, when you're really able to cure them, we won't intervene. At that time, you will know whether or not they should be treated. You have to truly be able to achieve the state of dissolving karma. Truly have gong, truly develop things through your own cultivation, and only then can you do this kind of thing.
当然我这个有人可能
Of course, some people may know that our Falun Gong.
说你不是老师，你也治过病吗？
Didn't you, teacher, you've also treated illnesses?
我不牵扯这些问题。
Yes, I have. I don't have these problems because I came to spread the Fa. Besides, during that initial period, in order to let people know about Falun Gong and to support large-scale national Qigong activities, I brought some pretty good disciples with me, and we provided illness treatment consultations.We have supported these kinds of Qigong activities. We could only do this under very special circumstances. The purpose of spreading this Fa is not to have people get their illnesses healed, it's to have you truly cultivate, to have you ascend. Through cultivation, you yourself will have no illness. Your body will be truly cleansed. Next, let's talk about, let's briefly discuss the question of gain and loss. Gain and loss. Speaking of this question, a lot of people will think they'll associate it with what's said in religions. That loss is giving to charity, doing some good deeds, helping the poor. While gain would mean gaining the right fruit or 正果If we look at the meaning of loss as taught by religions, I say what they teach is simply too narrow. Giving to charity is only letting go of one attachment in cultivation practice, but there are all the various aspects of the human heart, greed, various desires, complacency, attachment, show-off mentality, combativeness. Anyway, there are so many. If you can give to charity, if you can take material things or money lightly, it's only one aspect.One aspect of cultivating the heart. We're actually talking about loss in a broad sense. To lose all the attachments among ordinary people. Of course, it's very hard to do all at once. You can cultivate little by little, do it little by little. As you're naturally ascending, you won't feel that it's so sudden. As you reach that goal, it won't feel that hard to do.Of course, I'm telling everyone that it can be achieved gradually, but once you've heard these words, don't start thinking, oh, the teacher said to achieve it gradually, then let's take it slowly. That won't do. You have to have a high standard for yourself. So I was saying, it does not refer to such a small loss. You say, give a little to charity, help the poor. Nowadays, so many beggars are professional. Not only begging professionally, there are even those who beg in groups. Wherever there's a tourist site, they'll go. Wherever it's crowded, they'll go. They all form groups, even gangs. They form conglomerates and even have leaders.I'd say that some beggars make more money than you do, so it's not even easy to give to charity. So what we're talking about aren't those few superficial appearance-oriented things. Of course, when someone is really in dire straits, we can help them, because we cultivate shan, or kindness and benevolence. That is to say, this true loss that we talk about is in a broad sense. To lose all kinds of bad things in the ordinary human heart, all the bad desires, that's what we're talking about.If you don't lose these ordinary human attachments, actually, when you fight and struggle and manage to obtain something, don't you create karma? This karma is a black matter. And de, or virtue, is white. It's a white matter. This karma exists in the same field as de. And this karma, when reflected into the physical dimension,of ordinary people is called a virus, a bacteria, and other such things. While in another dimension, it's murky and black, and we see it's just karma. It's also an intelligent entity, and all of it is alive. So speaking of karma or ye, let me say more on this issue. This thing, like de, can be accumulated,down the line.
往下积。 说你自己呀、啊、
In addition to what you brought with you from before、
啊、这个是或者是前半生
or produced during your lifetime up until now, there is also another stake, which is that this thing can be passed down from the ancestors.、
啊、这个业啊
Everyone is afraid of this karma. Even those enlightened beings are afraid. Whoever has karma will be the one who has to dissolve it. Everyone fears this thing. It can make anyone suffer.
是吧？我们今天的人呐。
People today.People as they have developed to the present day, according to religion, people have already accumulated a lot of karma throughout numerous lifetimes. In my own words, people have come to this stage with karma rolling on top of karma. A person's karma is very big and powerful. We can do what we're doing just because we've discovered that man still has a little Buddha nature left, has a little goodness left in his heart. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this.So this karma is enormous. When the karma is huge, it has to be dissolved. Some people ask, I practice, but why do I feel so much discomfort? How come after I practiced for a while, I got ill again? They always think they have an illness. They always fail to regard themselves as practitioners. How can practice of gong be without suffering, and not just physical discomfort? Maybe someone provokes you, or you have a conflict with someone. It's all caused by karma. Without karma, you wouldn't have any hardships whatsoever. It's because people have karma that they suffer discomfort.
这个业力啊、
so if a person has a lot of karma, he has to dissolve it. If you want to cultivate, you must dissolve it. An ordinary person is also dissolving it, but it's not called dissolving, it's called repaying. He's repaying his karma. We practitioners call it dissolving karma, raising oneself and ascending, so one has to bear a certain amount of hardship. Some people give up as soon as their bodies feel unwell.Think about it. If you gave up as soon as your body felt unwell, where is there such a thing as you lounging on a bed in perfect comfort and you still increase your gong? Or we're drinking tea and lounging around on a sofa increasing gong? Where is there such a thing? Don't you have to go through arduous cultivation?If you want to truly elevate yourself, in addition to toiling with your body, you also have to temper your heart and mind. Toiling the body doesn't just mean practicing more. Your body also has to endure some pain. If you don't pay back the karma you generated, if you were to just dust off your butt and walk away, how could that ever do? What principle would that be?As soon as you want to cultivate, you can forget everything? That wouldn't do. You have to pay back your debts and clear yourself of everything in order to cultivate. So here we can dissolve a lot of your karma for you to ensure that you can cultivate upwards, but some has to be left for you to go through by yourself. It is placed on different levels, so on different levels you'll meet with some tribulations, like you may start feeling pain or you may meet with some difficulties. If you always consider it an illness, you will have no way to cultivate.I'd say that a little physical discomfort is pretty easy to get through. Of course, some people go on practicing and then suddenly it's as though they've gotten seriously ill. Ah, I'm not going to make it. They spit out a few mouthfuls of blood and are terrified, so they go to the hospital. Then I'd say that your enlightenment quality isn't good. Of course, I'm not saying that you definitely should not go to the hospital. If you're not a practitioner, if you cannot live up to it, then go to the hospital without delay before it's too late. If one is a true practitioner, he has no illness. Because throughout the whole course of your cultivation, from the beginning to the end, it's test for you. There are also tests for you on a fundamental level. It's not as though you'll practice cultivation to the point where you're pretty good and then there'll be no more tests in this respect. All the way to the very end of your cultivation, you will be tested as to whether or not you fundamentally believe, as to whether or not you can fundamentally enlighten. As soon as some people feel unwell, they run off to the hospital for treatment. Some people went to the hospital to get injections and they broke several needles. The injections wouldn't go in, so then they understood, oh, I'm a practitioner, I shouldn't have injections. Only then did they finally understand this. Of course, there are some people who are just pointing out these things, especially some elderly women. Once the crucial moment comes, they think, I have to preserve my life, I can't do it. Forget this Gong or that Gong. I have to preserve my life. She has to preserve her life. I'm telling you, it's only because you are a practitioner. If you weren't, your life would have ended long ago. What life to preserve? For a lot of elderly people, your life has been prolonged to let you practice cultivation, not to let you do other things. For example, in our practice, we also have this kind of case. When I was teaching seminar in the Northeast, there was one rather good person. I took note of him, so I arranged some things for him to come a bit more intensely, to allow him to eliminate the karma as quickly as possible, to allow him to enlighten more rapidly, and to rise up as quickly as possible. One day, on the way back home from practice, he stumbled and fell down in the street. Some people sent him to the hospital where they examined him and said it was a cerebral hemorrhage. When told it was a cerebral hemorrhage, he became really scared. But by the second day, he could get down off the bed. He was able to walk again, except his legs were a bit unsteady and his head didn't feel too well. But later on, he said, I got a cerebral hemorrhage from practicing Falun Gong. So people started saying, that system isn't good. He got cerebral hemorrhage from practicing Falun Gong. Think about it, everyone. If it were a cerebral hemorrhage, could you ever stand up and start walking so soon afterwards? We have already eliminated a lot for you. You were predestined to get cerebral hemorrhage in this lifetime. If you didn't practice Gong, if we hadn't taken care of it for you, when you fell down, you don't know how bad it could have been. Maybe you would be bedridden for the rest of your life. That is, it was eliminated for him to this extent, but he still said he got it from practicing the Gong. That is to say, it's very hard for a person to enlighten. In our practice, a lot of people have seen certain scenes in their dreams or during a state of tranquility. Cultivating upwards is very, very difficult. And at every stage, a group of people falls downwards. At every stage, a group of people fall. At the end, there are very few left to make it to the top. How many people can truly let go of their attachments to cultivate? It's very difficult. Look, there are 4,000 or 5,000 people sitting here, but I am not optimistic as to how many people can move up in cultivation. But at the same time, I am optimistic. What is there to be optimistic about? Even though there aren't that many, and those who cultivate up will not be the absolute majority, but the absolute majority will become the good people of the future. And if you're a good person, you still have a chance. So this is how it is manifested on the body. Karma can also be manifested in interpersonal conflicts. A conflict suddenly arises between two people. It can also be manifested here. Because karma is also alive. Wherever it goes, conflict will arise. Suddenly somebody is bad to you. You're walking in the street and somebody gives you mean looks, or bumps into you, or kicks you, or swears at you, or service personnel have a bad attitude towards you. All kinds of things can arise. Anything can happen. Let's give an example to make it more clear for everyone. For example, of our students in China, everyone has a job. The majority are currently working in state-owned enterprises. There are many workplaces that some people see as places to compete for money and power. It is in fact so. They vie with each other for a tiny bit of profit or for a slightly better position. They compete and fight. I say that for these kinds of people, life is very tiring. They take this stuff to be very important, but as practitioners, we cannot take it as such. Actually, some people admire and look up to those who are cunning and can fight and can strive among ordinary people, when in fact, there is nothing to admire. Life is the most tiring for such people. They cannot sleep well at night, and even in their dreams, they're thinking that their personal interests had better not be encroached upon. He doesn't eat well, he doesn't sleep well, he ruins his health. See, his life is tiring beyond words. And you want to learn from him? As practitioners, we have all the more reason to not be like that. We need to take these things a little more lightly. Maybe one day you walk into your work environment, your office, or your workshop, You walk into your office, to suddenly find that a lot of people are giving you weird looks. You think it's strange. When you get to your office, you have a good friend who tells you that such and such person said nasty things about you, started a rumor about you, a really bad thing. At that point, you become angry beyond measure. Even the supervisor believed it, now thinks less of you. Your anger flares up 30 feet high. If it were an ordinary person, he would think, he throws mud at me, he makes trouble for me, then I'll make trouble for him. So he turns around, goes to make trouble for him, and the two start fighting. Then you're just an ordinary person, you are not a practitioner. As a practitioner, how should you handle these things? These conflicts will happen frequently. I'm telling everyone, after you run into these conflicts, you cannot approach them like ordinary people do. We need to take these things ever so lightly. And that's still not enough. In addition, you must not talk back, nor go at it like he does. Moreover, I'm telling everyone, you should not get angry, because we require it, or forbearance or endurance. If you've gotten angry, you fail to forbear. It's not like you get angry and then you go endure it. You must not get angry at all. As a practitioner, you should not get angry. Not only must you not get angry, but in a certain sense, you actually should thank him in your heart. Some people may think, isn't that being RQ? He may look so bad, and I have to turn around and thank him. In my heart, I have to be grateful to him. On top of not getting angry, I have to be grateful to him. Getting angry isn't enough. I have to thank him. Won't that be just like RQ? Actually, I'm telling everyone, you do have to really thank him sincerely. Why do you need to thank him? Think about it, everyone. Can a person cultivate if it's always smooth sailing? If this person didn't create this complicated environment of conflict for you, if he didn't give you this opportunity to increase your goal, could you ascend? Don't you have to thank him? When you were in the midst of this conflict, however many rumors he spread about you, however much trouble he made for you, however much of an advantage he took of you is how much duh he'll give you. Hasn't he already compensated you? On the other hand, you yourself are considered the party that had to bear it all. Even if you didn't take it to heart, based on the principle as seen by others, you're the party that has lost. So however much you have endured your own black matter, your karma will also be transformed into the white matter. Or duh, because it was your black matter that caused you this hardship. So it will transform into duh. So you gain two for one. You gain two portions of duh. And there's more to it than that. During this conflict, didn't you not behave the same as he did? You didn't get angry, you exercised forbearance, so wasn't your xingxing or mind nature raised up? And as soon as your xingxing rose, as we say, gong, your cultivation energy is as high as your xingxing, so your gong is always growing. As long as your xingxing rises, it grows. So now that your xingxing has risen, hasn't your gong also risen? Thus, you've gained three for one. Where else can you get such a great deal? Shouldn't you really thank him? Didn't I say that after one gets to the high level, all of the ordinary people's principles are turned upside down? What people think is good, you see him fighting, competing for power very fiercely, but that's not good. That's the most foolish. From the higher level, it is seen that this kind of person is the sharpest. Even among ordinary people, all people believe in being patient and not lowering oneself to behave in the same way as others, right? So nobody would consider you RQ. At work and in all other aspects, you do very well, and you're doing a good job. Nobody will say you're foolish. People will only say that this person is really good. This person conducts himself so well. He has great patience and is very well bred. Ordinary people will say that. Actually, it's just that your moral standards are high. Your xingxing is very high. You are a cultivator. That's why you can do it. And those people who are the opposite, they're doing the most foolish thing. They're giving their de or virtue to others. He thinks he's sharp, but all ordinary people think that way. They all think that this person is great, that he's powerful, but that's the ordinary people's way of thinking. We are extraordinary people, and we live up to the requirements of a higher level. Of course, these kinds of conflicts are not only manifested in your work environment. Maybe they will be manifested in your family or in society. They can appear anywhere. You could run into some things while walking in the street. Somebody's walking and bumps into you, or somebody causes you some loss. How will you handle these problems? All these cases can show you how to handle it. Today we talked with some of our overseas students about the following issue. Some say I tell students, the point of practicing cultivation is not to make everyone into someone who gives up everything and is dirt poor so that each one is as poor as a church mouse. It is not to make you into that kind of person. Because every school of cultivation has its own methods of cultivation. Sakyamuni taught this kind of cultivation. In his school, that's how they cultivate. In some of the Western religions, all you have to do is repent, have faith, and correct your mistakes, and that's enough. You still do your ordinary human things among ordinary people. That is to say, all of them are enlightening to the things of their schools within the great principle of the universe, Jin San Ren. None of them have clearly explained the entire principle. Actually, it's not that a wealthy man can no longer practice cultivation, nor is it that if we do business, we cannot practice cultivation. That's not the way it is. It's not that high-ranking officials cannot practice cultivation. That's not at all what it's all about. And what is it all about? The point is how you can be a good person within your present level. We're not talking about those who value money more than their life, like total misers. That's unacceptable. Some people value their government perks and their rank. They value their official positions more than their life. That is unacceptable. We have said that in being an official, it's for you to do good things for other people. To be an official is not for yourself, it's for others. If you have money, but you don't have it on your mind, and you don't care about it, however much money you have, I think it doesn't matter. Because this dafa that we're spreading today, most people will cultivate in ordinary human society. In ordinary human society, there are those among you who are employed in all different occupations. In the future, as it is spread further and further, say when all Chinese people study Falun Gong, if everybody becomes an out-of-the-convent nun or an out-of-the-monastery monk, and nobody does any work, then people wouldn't have anything to eat. As they say, even if you could eat grass, there wouldn't be enough to eat. Isn't that so? That is to say, you still have to do your job because your job is your duty to society. Of course, if you do big business, you make more money. That conforms to ordinary human society. The more you work, the more you gain. That principle isn't wrong. If you put more into it, you do a lot, maybe it will bring you more profit. That doesn't matter. Say you are a high-level official. You know at different levels there are different conflicts. Poor people have conflicts amongst themselves. Rich people have conflicts among themselves. Businessmen also have conflicts at their respective levels. So do officials. There are conflicts between all the different high and low-level officials. Isn't that so? People are all... A lot of people are fighting for power, scrambling for authority, doing these things for fame and self-interest. In different strata, there are different conflicts. It's a matter of how you can let go of your attachments and do well within your level, and be a good person. Then you meet the standard of a practitioner. That is the principle we are talking about. It's not that you need to lose this or that in terms of appearances. What we are talking about is the true raising of one's heart. That's the only way for you to ascend. Whatever we do is for sentient beings, for the people. If you have a company, whether or not you're incorporated, say you're doing business, you've brought some things here, have brought these things to this region to sell here. Well, hasn't that brought prosperity to this region's economy and enriched the life of its people? And the product over there has been sold, which prevented overstocking. Of course, I'm just explaining this point. Whatever you do, these things are for serving the society. So if you've done more, if you've done a good job, naturally, you may gain somewhat more. But you shouldn't attach so much weight to it. It wouldn't do to see money as your life. You should take it lightly. So just now we were talking about gain and loss and the question of karma. That's all for that. Of course, just now I talked about the aspect of interpersonal conflict. It can be manifested in toiling the body and tempering the heart. It will bring some discomfort to your body. Of course, that bit of suffering during your practice doesn't mean much. It will be manifested in something like getting ill or feeling sick. This state will occur. In addition, this is the aspect of toiling the body. The hardest part is to temper your heart. That is, to not have one's heart be tempted by the attachments of ordinary human beings. This is the most difficult. As for myself, if you say that I'm good, my heart will be unmoved. If you say that I'm bad, my heart is also unmoved. I take everything very lightly. Of course, you aren't able to cultivate to my level. I say, the higher places, the colder it is. I say, at my level, there isn't even anybody left whom I can talk to. People cannot listen to what I want to say, and what others want to talk about is not interesting to me. All kinds of social things, like karaoke, dancing, or disco, or even the movies, I don't watch them. Anyhow, I don't have these things. I take everything very lightly, even the sense of taste. Some people say this dish is so tasty, so delicious, but I can't tell. I don't even know if it's tasty or not. The taste of sweetness I don't like, sourness I don't like. Anyway, the things that others like and are attached to, I don't have any of them. But I have my feelings. I have the joys of my level, right? So tempering one's heart can also be reflected in society and within the family. Mostly it's reflected in the family because everyone has family environment. I'll give an example that all of you may have run into before. Some people have practiced qigong before, or they practiced some system. As soon as they started practicing qigong, their spouses would get angry. If they didn't practice qigong, the couple would get along just fine. As soon as they started practicing qigong, if not the husband, then the wife would flare up and start a fight with them. Then the two of them would get into a fight. They didn't know why. Once they started practicing qigong, their spouse would get upset. Some couples even came close to getting divorced because one of them wanted to practice qigong. This kind of thing does occur. Why? A lot of people cannot figure it out and find it strange. But they stop at the thought of it being strange. They haven't thought about it much and don't know what's going on. Actually, none of this is without reason. Including this qigong, even though it's the lowest level of cultivation practice, it is, after all, an extraordinary thing. And for extraordinary things, there are extraordinary principles that accompany them. If you do physical exercise, it probably won't happen. If you do physical exercise, maybe your spouse won't bother you at all. But if you do qigong, they'll get angry. Why? They don't know. Actually, I'm telling you, it's all caused by karma. You've practiced well today at the qigong practice site because practicing qigong has to change one's body, has to purify one's body, has to get rid of some illnesses. You want to get all these healthy things and have a healthy body. So what's to be done? Your karma has to be eliminated. Moreover, in some systems, the true orthodox transmitted systems, at the lowest level of practicing qi, they also have to lay a foundation. Open up the acupoints, open up the energy channels, put the crucible in the furnace, gather medicine and make dan and such. They have to form these things. These are the things that have to be formed at the level of practicing qi. So to form all these extraordinary things, you have to go eliminate your karma and raise your xingxing. It happens to some people that as soon as they step in the house, their spouse will throw a fit right in their face, and they'll think, before I started practicing qigong, if I said one thing, no one would say anything to the contrary. Nobody dared to treat me like this. Now that I'm practicing qigong, has it all turned around. Now he or she is bossing me. How can this do? And they start a fight with their spouse. Once you start a fight, that day's practice would have been in vain. No matter how well you practice, it's all in vain. If you manage to endure and don't take it to heart, if you really suppress it, then maybe your body will be purified. And your gong, the foundation that had to be laid, will perhaps be formed. And if you're cultivating on a high level, then maybe your gong increases. That's the point. But a lot of people cannot enlighten to this principle. So many people practice Qigong and all run into this thing, but they can't enlighten to it. Actually, that's what's going on. As long as you can maintain your xingqi, you should also maintain your xingqi at home. You said that your parents or your siblings, yesterday I told you a principle that you don't know which. Some people cannot give up their parents or their children, and they cannot practice cultivation. So let me tell you the following principle. Think about it, everyone. You don't know how many parents you have had.
Your
children could be countless. They're living all over the place. They're doing all kinds of things. Which ones are your true ones? Only the parents who originally gave birth to you, who produced your yuan shen, or true spirit, are your parents. So this means, do not get attached, do not get lost in these things. But I'm not telling you to not respect your parents, to not follow the Chinese traditions. That's not so. There are also principles. Besides qing or sentiments, there are also principles, right? You should educate and raise your children, and you should repay your parents for bringing you up. But as cultivators, we're talking about a greater thing. When the qing is abandoned, compassion will follow. That is a more wonderful realm, a better realm. Of course, as practitioners, we should try our best to not be like ordinary people. We should pay attention to Zhen, forbearance, doing good deeds, to emphasizing virtue, or De. We shouldn't create conflict, we shouldn't fight with others. But I think after the students complete the seminar, they will all undergo a great change. That is for sure. Of course, there are many examples like this. Let me give you some examples. For instance, in the past, when I was teaching seminars, I had some students who did quite well. They maintained their xingqing very well. Whether it was in society, in the family, or in the workplace, they maintained it very well. First, let's talk about inside the workplace. A lot of people would not compete with others for an increase in salary. What is mine is mine, and what is not mine naturally will not be mine. They had this attitude. For some people who were supposed to get a raise did, while those who were not supposed to get one didn't. When it comes to the allocation of apartments too, a lot of self-interest is involved. Also, some people, before, when it came to assigning duties in the office, they would try to pick the plum assignments and leave the rest for others, all kinds of things. But after they learned Falun Gong, they all stopped behaving that way. For example, when I was teaching a seminar in Wuhan, there were several students from Wuhan who worked in a factory. I think in a factory that was very far from the city. There were some students. When they returned to the factory after having learned the gong, they started to work. And originally that factory, nowadays the morale in factories, people feel very unstable since in state-run industries. Anyhow, factories are not very productive for many reasons. People don't do a good job at work. The quality of the products is falling, so then the factory does even worse. So after these students went back, they not only taught the gong to others, they also started to work very conscientiously, coming in early and going home late, and they stopped being picky. They became completely different from before. Once these people began to do this, they changed the morale of the entire factory. Other people saw them doing this and started learning from them. Why? Because usually people who enjoy qigong are fairly well known in their company, even a little bit famous.
Hey!
So once they started doing this, everybody else started learning from them, and thus the whole morale of this factory was changed. The directors of our assistance center in Wuhan went to that factory to see how they were practicing and to inspect their work. The factory director came out to meet them in person and said, "How come your Falun Gong is so awesome? The morale of my factory has completely changed. When is your teacher coming? I'll also attend."
And then he...
And then he personally assigned a car to take the directors of our assistance center back. Well, we're teaching a class in Shandong. There was a factory, a knitting factory. They make items like bath towels and dish towels, all those knitted products. So a lot of employees used to walk off with items to use at home, and some people even kept some. And our students, when they came back after having learned the gong, they took the lead in seizing to do that. Then later on, they taught people to practice the gong, and they spread the gong and told people about matters of xingxing. And then, inspired by their example, people started to bring back the things that they had taken home before. Everybody in the factory started doing that. Imagine what that was like. And this is just in the workplace. There are many such examples. And this is not an exception to the rule. It's a common phenomenon in our Falun Gong. I've said before that I dare say that our Falun Gong is a land of purity. I dare to say that. Some of our students also conduct themselves very well in society and within the family. A married couple used to fight. He couldn't stand the sight of her and she couldn't stand the sight of him, making it very hard on the children. Since they've learned the gong, there's harmony in the family and they live more at ease. A lot of our students have experienced this firsthand, right? In addition, there are also examples within society. I like giving the following example because it's quite typical. When I was teaching the class in Taiyuan, there was an old woman, over 50 years old, retired. Her husband was also retired. They were learning Falun Gong. On one of the last couple of days of our seminar, she came up and said to me, "I was just hit by a car." Then she told me what had happened. She and her husband were on their way to our class. When they reached the middle of the road, there were no cars in the street when they began to cross. But just as they reached the middle of the road, a small car came from a distance, driving very quickly. Don't cars have a rear view mirror? This mirror caught on her blouse, dragged her more than 10 meters, and then slammed through her on the ground. A person who was over 50 years old, already retired, she was dragged more than 10 meters and slammed through into the ground, and the car kept going for another 20 meters before it stopped, so it was moving very rapidly. Of course, nowadays, people, when they do things, usually their first thought is to shift responsibility. The driver jumped out and said, "Why don't you watch where you're going?" "What do you mean she doesn't watch where she's going? Hurry up and see how she's doing, otherwise if the police come, they won't let you go." The passenger in the car understood and said, "Hurry up, take her to the hospital, let's check how she's doing." So he also got it and said some nice words. "How are you doing, Grandma? Should we go to the hospital to take a look? Let's go to the hospital." And what do you say was our student's response? Our student slowly got up from the ground and waved her hand, saying, "No problem, you can go." And as a result, there really was no problem. She dusted herself off and went to class with her husband. When she came, she told me about this incident. When I heard it, I was very happy. I said our student Xingxing had been raised very high. The old woman also said, "If I hadn't studied Falun Gong, I would never have handled it like that." Think about it. If she weren't a Falun Gong disciple, could she have handled it like that? Some people think, "How come I don't get hit by a car a little bit? I'd get something out of him. I'd squeeze some money out of him to spend. Not to mention if he really hit me. Go to the hospital? Let's go. Where are you hurt? Everywhere. I'd lay on the ground and I wouldn't get up. Go to the hospital and have them treat me. I'd stay there and never leave." A lot of people think like that. But our student didn't do this.
Good
or bad arises out of one thought. A difference in just one thought can dictate the outcome. If she had collapsed on the ground and said, "Ow, I'm injured," and had a bad thought, "Let me squeeze some money out of him," then maybe she would have ended up with broken bones
and torn tendons.
One thought determines whether the outcome will be good or bad. She got up by herself and said, "No problem, you can go." Before she even fully got up, she already said, "No problem, you can go." She didn't even check her body. She just said, "No problem, you can go." As a result, she wasn't hurt at all. Such an old person getting dragged more than 10 meters in such a fast car with so much force, yet nothing happened to her. Not even her clothes were ripped. Of course, people today are, even those who watched it happen found it unfair. They said to the old lady, "You're so foolish, why don't you squeeze some money out of him? Ask for money." So I've said, people nowadays cannot tell good from bad. They think that would have been the right thing to do. That teacher was speeding, but would he have hit her on purpose? Maybe he had some urgent matter. Just talking about these things. This shows that our students maintain their xinxin very well. Of course, these kinds of examples are countless. A lot of our students have written about these things in their experience-sharing essays or talked about them at meetings in the assistance centers. I've heard them and find them quite engaging. Of course, there's another issue here. That is, as I was saying yesterday, if one is truly cultivating, he must have a fashion protecting him. That's the only way he can succeed, otherwise his life will be in danger. There are these kinds of situations. For example, dangerous things have happened to many of our students, but they've all dodged them, and nothing happened to them. They weren't in any danger. There was no danger to their life. There are so many such examples that almost everyone has one. All the veteran students, as I see it, have encountered it. I like to give the following example. In Beijing, there was a student who was biking in the street. Suddenly, there came a passenger car, and in Beijing, there are a lot of those luxury sedans, and bang, the car ran into her, and bang, hit her right in the head. The people on the sidewalk were terrified. It was so loud. Wouldn't she be done for? And she was hit on the head, but she didn't even fall off the bike. She had one foot on the ground and the other on the bicycle. She checked herself and saw that there was no bump, no pain, and no blood. The driver was terrified. He jumped out of the car and said, "Are you all right? Are you injured? Let's go to the hospital." And the student said, "It's no problem." Of course, our student had very high xinxin. She said, "No problem." But on the car, there was a dent that was this big. And then there was also... We have students, also in Beijing, student who was biking home from the seminar very late at night. In the winter, they go to bed quite early in the north, and there was no one on the road. He was riding very quickly, and there was a jeep driving far ahead in front of him. Suddenly, the jeep went into reverse. It stopped and went into reverse very rapidly. As for him, the bicycle was rushing forward, and it was too late to swerve. A collision of two forces. It was really coming to take his life. They were about to collide. Just about to collide. Just at the moment when he was about to smash into the jeep and he didn't know what to do, suddenly he felt that some force pulled his bike back more than half a meter. Then the jeep kept reversing for about half a meter, then came to a sudden stop, wheel to wheel with his bike. At that point, he wasn't even scared. He thought, "Who pulled me back? I should thank them." He looked back and saw that there was no one there, not a single person. There are more. There are too many such examples. There was a student in Changchun who was coming out of his house. Nowadays, they put up buildings over 10 stories high. They use that tall scaffolding. They're all iron poles, 3 inches in diameter, 4 meters long. They use these iron poles to make the scaffolding. One of those poles fell off and went straight down toward the top of his head. Everybody in the street was petrified with fear. They were dumbfounded, terrified. Yet our student didn't feel much. Guess what he said? "Who patted me?" He asked, "Who patted him?" When he turned around, he saw it. As he looked over, that iron pole slid along his head, stuck deep into the ground, and remained standing. And then he looked over and saw a large following, or law wheel, rotating over there. Think about it, everyone. If it had really fallen on his head, it would have been like skewering candied plums. It would have impaled him all the way through from top to bottom. So much weight coming from such a height with so much force. We also have another student who was on the road. This person was riding a tricycle. In the Northeast, they call that kind of tricycle riding a donkey backwards. It's the kind of tricycle where the two wheels are in the back and the load is pulled behind the rider. In the back, he had placed two of those security doors, steel doors, that they put in houses. He was pulling two of them. He came to a place where his truck was unloading rocks, the kind that are used for building houses or for laying foundations. Those rocks hit a concrete electricity pole and knocked it over. I think the truck was a dump truck, the kind with a tilting body. Anyway, the rocks knocked over a concrete electricity pole, which fell and hit him right on the head. A concrete electricity pole, just think how heavy that is. Bam! It dropped right on his head, and he was thrown to the back of the tricycle. The concrete pole fell on top of him, pressing on his head and body. When this happened, his wife was there too. At that point, she thought, that's it, he's dead. Everyone knew he must be dead. And then from underneath, he started yelling, come on, pull me out. People rushed to pull off the concrete pole, and he wasn't hurt at all. Not even a cut. He thought it was very strange. How come there's no injury at all? Not only was there no injury, there was an imprint of an entire human figure left in the security door. A big dent in the shape of a person. He had been pressed between the concrete pole and the door, and he was fine. These incidents are very strange. Which is to say, anyway, maybe these people have harmed others' lives before, and after these things happened to them, it counts as having been paid back. So one great tribulation has been passed. Since we were talking about Xinxing, I mentioned this. None of these students of ours blamed anyone. Later on, other people were scared, so the company took the responsibility and offered to pay him money and send him to the hospital. But he said, no problem, go ahead, don't mind me. Finally, they still came looking for him to pay his medical expenses, but he said he was fine. We don't want a penny from anyone. People who failed to keep up their xingxing, who fell all the way to the bottom, also exist. We won't give those examples. In other qigong systems, it doesn't even count as falling or not falling because they're not even cultivated. They compete and do all kinds of things. Among those who cultivate our Falun Gong, a couple of such cases have occurred. But they're very rare, very few. All those are demons undermining our Dafa. Next, let's talk about you know, in the cultivation community, there are some terms. For example, things like Guan Ding, Xuan Guan, and there are others. There are many different expressions. Especially in the Dao school, there are even more. Some of them, since we can't talk about all of them, actually, they're all very simple things. But if you circle around it theoretically, it becomes very complex. First, let's talk about Guan Ding, or pouring energy in the top of the head. What is Guan Ding? At present, a lot of religions and a lot of qigong masters practice it as a religious ritual. Actually, it is not a religious ritual. What is it used for? The purpose of Guan Ding is to purify the disciple's body. As for whether Guan Ding can make his disciples' gong increase, that's impossible. Guan Ding cannot make one's gong increase. The only thing it can do is that the master is using the master's power to purify the disciple's body a step further. This purification has to be done on all the different levels. How is it done? The Guan Ding form is as follows. The master places his palm over the top of the disciple's head and pours in energy. The real Guan Ding looks as follows. If you could see inside the body, you would see how, as the energy moves downwards, the entire body, starting from the skull down through the bones, becomes white. The whole body, from head to toe, becomes white. Even the bones will become white. So the body will be purified to a high degree. The purpose of Guan Ding is to purify the body. Nowadays, some people have made it into a religious ritual. Of course, in tantrism, it's both a religious ritual and at the same time a cultivation method. So within Buddhism, only tantrism practices Guan Ding and emphasizes Guan Ding. They believe that a person who has not received Guan Ding cannot be taken as a disciple, and one cannot teach him the Fa. And if he does, it's viewed as stealing the Fa. Who knows who started it all nowadays? Some Qigong masters in the Qigong community also started doing Guan Ding. Once you've studied my system, you cannot study anything else. After Guan Ding, you are all my disciples. If you think perhaps they want to form a sphere of influence or do something bad, I don't think that's really possible. All they want to do is corral these people to cheat them out of their money. Today you learned from me, and I taught you. Next time, you can't learn other things. Next time I come, you should come and learn from me again, give me money again. He teaches you a set today, a set tomorrow, and one more the day after, basically to make money off you. Actually, they are all evil schools and crooked ways. Can they do anything or have any effect? They have no effect whatsoever. There was a person who practiced Guan Ding on the largest scale. More than 1,000 people waited in line for his Guan Ding. I say that man was a big swindler. How did he pour energy? Think, everyone. If you looked at how high his gong was, it wasn't even... It was very, very low. Not even as high as this building. So small, it was pathetic. He was giving Guan Ding to people. Fine. Think, everyone. When you're doing Guan Ding to people, the energy is pressing down and the column of gong or cultivation energy will become shorter because the energy has been given out. 10 people, I think, will add up to that height. But he was doing Guan Ding for more than 1,000 people. I say beyond 10 people, there wouldn't be any gong left. If you did more, you would collapse. Could that ever be a true Guan Ding? Isn't it fake? Isn't it cheating? So we don't practice these things. Then there is also something like touching the top of the head. I don't know what effect that has. But I'm telling everyone, although we don't talk about Guan Ding, in reality, we have to do it for everyone. We just don't practice this ritual. When my Fa Shen gives you Guan Ding, he doesn't tell you and doesn't let you know. Because when bringing up disciples, the master doesn't need to leave his name. He wants no reward and doesn't need your thanks. He's just responsible for you. So when people receive Guan Ding, sensitive people can feel it. They can feel a hot flow pressing down from the top of the head. For some people, it can happen just by walking around or when they're sleeping. So we don't practice these rituals. Next, let's talk about Xuan Guan or the mysterious path. What is Xuan Guan? There is also another expression, one aperture of Xuan Guan. Or there's also another one, the placement of Xuan Guan. What is Xuan Guan? Much has been said about it. The books of scripture of Dan, collection of Tao scriptures, and nature and life cultivation principles all have this term. But where is the Xuan Guan, or the mysterious path? What is the form of Xuan Guan? What is it used for? Nobody has discussed it. Because these things, these true things, cannot be written down in books. So if anyone wants to cultivate based on the ancient books of scripture of Dan, collection of Tao scriptures, nature and life cultivation principles, or the classic of the Yellow Emperor, you wouldn't be able to develop anything through your cultivation. It would be useless. It's all theory. So next we'll tell everyone about Xuan Guan. We have to start talking about Xuan Guan from the very beginning.
人呢、啊，一个人
，when a person cultivates
在一门修炼的时候呢，
within a school,
师傅要给他下上许许多多的东西。
The master has to plant a lot of things in him,
是吧？所以呢，他丹田这个部位、啊、
So all the necessary things will be produced from his 丹田 or lower abdomen area.
丹田
Speaking of 丹田 or the field of 丹 we have to straighten out for everyone a matter of terminology, a matter of understanding.
大家可能听说过无处不丹田。
You may have heard the saying that 丹田 is everywhere.
是吧？其实呢，
Actually, the saying that 丹田 is everywhere doesn't make sense.
不成立的，是吧？错误的说法。
It's wrong.Because a person's 丹田 is only in the lower abdomen, below the lower abdomen, and above the perineum, inside the flesh body. That is, in the lower part of the lower abdomen, that is your real 丹田. All of the supernormal powers not naturally present in the body are produced here. All the living beings and all the magic things that will be produced in the body are produced here. There is only one such 天 or field. The saying that 丹田 is everywhere is wrong. Those who say so think that why do they say 丹田 is everywhere? They think they're also saying that upper 丹田 lower 丹田 that is all wrong. Why? They think that if a mind intent is concentrated here, it can form 丹 after a long time it can develop 丹 or an energy cluster. All you have is that thought and the master helps you to form a 丹 There's
丹
there, but there's no 田 or field. It doesn't constitute a field. If you call it upper 丹 or middle 丹 I think that's okay. It's acceptable.Then there's a saying that 丹田 is everywhere. You can say
丹
is everywhere, but you cannot say 丹田 is everywhere.
If you
concentrate your mind intent on some point and you want a 丹 then you form a 丹 So the true 田 is only one in the lower abdomen. So all those sayings about upper and lower 丹田 are incorrect. There's only 丹田 The only real term of 丹田 is in one place. All the things have to grow from here.
那么这个丹田呢
So this 丹田,
这个丹田、啊、
the 丹田 that we're talking about,
当他这个人修炼到
when a person has gone above the intermediate level in the cultivation of integral world Fa, when his body has already become quite pure,
就开始从你这个丹田里啊
A living being will begin to grow from his 丹田 This living being is called 元婴 or immortal infant. The 元 of 元神 The 元 of 1 元 or 2 元 in currency 婴 as an infant 元婴 It is not a baby nor is it a 婴孩 or cherub It is called 元婴 or immortal infant In the beginning, the Buddhist school talked about a body that's imperishable as diamond, and that's what they were referring to. 元婴 is what the Taoist school calls it. Actually, we call it a Buddha body. It's composed of high energy matter. It is the future body. Don't we talk about the transformation of Binti, or one's own body and bodies in other physical dimensions? Right, this body of ours is very different from that body. Without this body, you cannot appear in this dimension when you come from over there. You cannot reveal yourself when you come over to this dimension. Only with this body can you stay among ordinary people. It's been transformed into high energy matter. That's the difference. But it can also go to the other side, and then it would be about the same as the 元婴 or immortal infant body over there. But the structure is actually still different. So we cultivate both things. We both cultivate the 元婴 and transform the Binti. They will be joined together in the future. So we're talking about this 元婴 when it has just been produced and is very small. Because when you see things with the 天目 or third eye, you bypass the eyes. The eyes limit people, but the 天目 does not. So you can see microscopic things. When it is very, very small, like the tip of a needle, you can already see that it has been produced. When it has grown to the size of a ping pong ball, the internal organs, the limbs, and facial features and everything have already formed. It's very clear. It's complete. When it first appears, it is sitting in the lotus position, the same as the position you are in when you practice the exercises. It looks exactly the same as you, only it looks like you did in your childhood. Then gradually, it will grow. As it keeps growing, from underneath its seat, a lotus flower will be produced, a petal or two of a lotus flower.When it has grown to be about 4 or 5 inches tall, the lotus flower will have formed to about 4 or 5 or 6 inches, about this big. A layer of petals has formed the lotus flower seed. So it's sitting there in the lotus position. You know, in the cultivation of the Pure Land School, they don't take the body. They don't cultivate these things because they don't teach cultivation of both mind and body. They teach chanting the Buddha's name, and when the time comes, a Buddha comes to take them and evolves the body for them. So as long as they chant the Buddha's name, the lotus flower is growing on the other side. That's what they say. Actually, our system is active. As you're practicing and cultivating, you can see all the changes you're going through. So the lotus flower is growing here, gradually becoming bigger and bigger. When it's as big as a ping pong ball, next to it, there will appear another ball-shaped thing of the same size. This ball is transparent and very thin. Very thin. Just like a white balloon. Like a milk white balloon. Somewhat transparent, but not really transparent, just like that. And inside is completely empty. There's nothing inside. After one layer of petals of the lotus flower seed has been formed, this ball will leave its position. It will leave the Dantian. Actually, this is what is called the Xuan Guan, or the mysterious pass. This Xuan Guan leaves its position and very slowly, very gradually, makes its way up the body. It's very slow, but every day you can see its progress as it gradually moves up. When it has made its way up to this part, to the Tanzhong acupoint, the center of the chest, because one's heart and a lot of quintessential things are here. This is a very important place. So it has to form a set of things that is the same as those things. These will be substantiated and go inside the Xuan Guan. These things must also be substantiated inside the Xuan Guan. Inside the Xuan Guan, there have to be these things. Then after it stays there for a little while and has finished the substantiation, it begins to rise again. Gradually, slowly, it moves up. When it comes up to the throat, one feels suffocated and feels that the head is bloated. Pressure is built up there as if one is being strangled, but not that serious. Then when it comes to your head all of a sudden, you don't feel suffocated in the throat anymore, but your head feels swollen. At that time, it's about as big as your head. Since man's niwan is in the head, the brain and a lot of quintessential things are all at the top of the head. So it also has to form a complete copy of the structure of your brain, which is substantiated and goes inside the Xuan Guan. Then this Xuan Guan will force its way out through the channel of the Tian Mu. As it's forcing its way out, it's very painful, as if the channel is being stretched from the inside. The forehead is swollen, and you'll feel nauseous. When it's squeezing through, it hurts a lot. Once it suddenly makes its way out, it will hang in front of your forehead. This is called Xuan Guan. Hanging there. This is also called the placement of Xuan Guan. Some people also call it one aperture of the mysterious path. Actually, the mysterious path is not one aperture. After it has positioned itself, Xuan Guan will... What is its purpose? Is that 100 energy channels of the human body all come together at this point. All the energy channels of your body, 100 channels intersect here. Of course, the Buddhist school doesn't call it Xuan Guan, it calls it the Buddha status. If a person doesn't have it, his cultivation in his lifetime is for naught. He is out of status. He doesn't have the status, there's nothing he can develop. His cultivation will be in vain. He cannot succeed in cultivation because it's such a crucial thing. In a little while, I'll tell you why it's so crucial. After the Xuan Guan has come out, the 100 channels merged together will go into the mysterious path, go around once and come out. Inside, it has to form a set of things corresponding to the 100 channels of the body. After that's formed, it needs to change places. Xuan Guan changes places, so it will go back inside. When it's forcing its way back, it also hurts a lot. After it goes back in, it'll force its way out again from the back of your head, shooting out at the Yuzhen acupoint. Of course, it's in another dimension, so when you sleep, you don't bump into it. After it has formed a set of things, it goes back in, then goes down and shoots out from the Mingmen, or the Life Gate. It shoots out from the Mingmen acupoint. The Mingmen is also a very crucial place. A lot of people who know this call the life gate an iron gate or steel gate, or even a lot of the supernormal powers evolved by the cultivator, a lot of the things developed through cultivation are all locked up inside there. The things developed through cultivation don't work. Why not? Because they're all locked up. They're all locked up inside the body. Inside there is like what I said about the structure of the human body. The molecules form a layer, the atoms form a layer, then electrons, atomic nuclei, quarks, neutrinos, it goes down like that, layer by layer. And every layer has a gate. How big is the gate? It's as big as the heavens. Of course, this way of saying it, it's as big as your own dimensional field. But as manifested in your body, it's like one acupoint. Actually, the main purpose of refining Dan is to finally blast open this gate. If it's not open, nothing will be released because it's closed very tightly. So Xuanguan will position itself in your Mingmen or life gate, and then it will go back. It will begin to return to its original position, which is called Xuanguan returns to its position. When Xuanguan goes back to its position, here's the Yuanyin, immortal infant, so it cannot go back to its original position. What's to be done? It forms one with the Yuanyin and envelops the Yuanyin inside. Thus, the immortal infant is sitting inside it, but it is also growing, and the immortal infant is also growing, until the immortal infant has become as big as your body. And then this thing will extend outside of your body. In the end, if you have reached success in cultivation, in the Taoist school they talk about the immortal infant coming out to the world. Usually in Taoist cultivation, when the immortal infant or Yuanyin is about 7 to 8 or 8 to 9 years old, he jumps out. True spirit or Yuanshen controls him, and he has great abilities. In the Buddhist school, they usually don't let him out. In extremely special cases, when the immortal infant is that big, he's allowed to come out, but usually he's not allowed to come out until you have succeeded in cultivation. If you have not reached completion or Yuanman, he doesn't come out, so he will become one with your body. The appearance of the immortal infant after you have succeeded in cultivation is about 20 years old. For women, she looks like 17 or 18 years old. So in reality, beings look that young. Nowadays, people portray them as looking about 40-something. They make them a little bit more mature, like it's a little easier for people to believe in. And actually, they're all very young. Then, when he has grown very big, you know, in some temples, especially in the ancient temples, there are images of Buddhas. In ancient temples, there are none in modern temples. Nowadays, people don't know what it's all about and don't understand it anymore. The Buddhas on the images, especially on the mural paintings, have their bodies surrounded by a circle. All the Buddha's images are sitting inside circles. Not those halos over their heads, not those, but the whole Buddha is sitting in a circle. All the Buddha's images are like that. Why? Actually, at that point, that's his Xuanguan. But now it can no longer be called Xuanguan. It's called his own paradise. His own paradise. When this person has succeeded in cultivation, when this person leaves taking his immortal infant or Yuanyin, no matter how high the gong this person has developed in cultivation, because what's been formed inside here is just a set of equipment, a set of things, but there's still no energy to substantiate it. So it's no good yet, it still doesn't work. So when cultivating in the world, one has to bear a lot of hardship and put out quite a lot of effort. But when you leave, when you succeed in cultivation, you can only attain the way with 2/10 of your gong. Then, where did that 8/10 of your gong go? It's all taken down together with your xingxing standard. It goes to substantiate your small paradise. This Xuanguan is not called Xuanguan anymore, it's called a small paradise, and this goes to substantiate it. So once it has been substantiated with energy, it becomes such that you can have anything you want. You're sitting inside your paradise and everything comes with a wave of your hand. It's said that Buddha enjoys great comfort. He has whatever he wants to play with, whatever he wants to eat, he has anything he wants, it all comes with a wave of his hand. Why is this so? Because he has obtained it in exchange for a life lifetime of arduous cultivation, putting out immeasurable effort and thus raising his level. This is the Buddha status. Without this, it would not be possible for him to have whatever he wants. So he would not be able to succeed in cultivation. That's what it is. So when one really attains the Dao, he only has 2/10 of his gong left. But without the constraints of his body, he will reveal great divine powers. That's all for this lecture.